A fugitive must be a rolling stone. Down every road there's always one more city. I'm on the run, the highway is my home.
Hi everybody, I'm anonymous announcer for Talking Fugitive with Kitty and Bobby. Those of you who listened, what was it, about a month ago, I guess, to the special that we did, it was so well received that we're going to give this a try here as a regular program. So 30 minutes tonight, starting right now, and it's also going to be scheduled for in 2 weeks on December the 20th. If you want to be on the program, the phone number, which is working tonight, 800-407-5728, 800-407-KSAV. The email address is talk@ksav.org. I was going to have to read any emails you send in during the show over the air, and they have some already, the hosts do on it. So keep the ones you send to me short, if you would. All right, enough of me. Kitty, Bobby, let's go.
Thank you very much, Dave, for this opportunity to continue this dialogue about the show, and there's much to discuss, and that's probably why we're still talking about it after 38 years. It's been off the air, 37 years. Hi, Kitty. How are you tonight?
Hi, I'm great.
Okay. A couple of weeks ago, shortly after our last show, I went on the message board at our discussion group, the Fugitive Views and Reviews, and told people that since we only have 30 minutes now, that it would probably be best to pick one topic out and try to stay on that as much as we can. And I decided to choose one that really has created a lot of controversy on our board in the past 2 years, and that revolves around Helen Kimball, because Helen Kimball is the person who really launches this story. Even though she doesn't appear at the beginning of the series, she's critical, because without her in it and without her being murdered, there is no story. Richard Kimball doesn't have to run anywhere, and nothing is going to happen. But it's very ironic, because even though she's a very important character, she really is hardly in the series at all. Now, it is true that when this series begins, the story has already been going on for some time, and she's not alive. So, obviously, there's not a whole lot of opportunity to do a lot with her. But we don't see her at all at the beginning of the series until episode number 14. I mean, we don't know who she is. We only know that Richard Kimball is a doctor whose wife was murdered. He was falsely accused of crime, and he has been on the run ever since.
Bob, you got a caller whenever you want to take them. Ken from Vista's on the line.
Okay,
so you call when you're ready.
Let me do a little bit, and then we'll go to him.
Okay.
And so we don't see her at all. We don't see her at all at the beginning of the series until Christmas Eve of 1963, episode number 14, in an episode called The Girl from Little Egypt. And in that one, there are a couple of flashbacks, and this is the first time that we get to see Helen Kimball. Unfortunately, we do not get to see her at her best moments. The first time we see her, she's in the hospital. She and her husband have just had a baby who, unfortunately, was stillborn. And he's sitting there holding her hand, and he has to give her the kind of news no woman would want to hear, which is that not only did the baby die, but also she will not be able to have children ever again. She's a very sympathetic character at that moment. You really feel for her, and she comes across very well. The problem is it's immediately followed by a scene sometime later. We don't know how long. Maybe weeks, maybe months, maybe years. I don't know. And she and Richard are in the bedroom getting ready to go out to dinner, and when she finds out that he's taking her to a restaurant to see a man from Planned Parenthood to discuss adoption, she simply goes right off the deep end. They have an argument, which causes him to run out of the house. He comes back later on, and she's already dead. My problem with all of this is that I think first impressions are important, as they certainly are in the business world, and that because this is our first impression of Helen Kimball, it never really stops after that. I don't have a good opinion about her, because the writers don't allow us to see any happiness there. For seconds, in that second flashback, we see them as a happy couple. Then it turns dark, and that's the end of it. And we don't see her again at all as a live person until the end of the series, and that's 4 years later. So my whole question here is, why is Helen Kimball so terribly underdeveloped? Why do the writers not want to tell us more about her? And that is the biggest problem I've had with this. So that's just some basics to get us started. You can put Ken on if you want to.
All right. Let's bring Ken from Vista back, because I think he was on before. So welcome back to Talking Fugitive, Ken.
Thanks, Dave.
Hi, Ken.
Hi, Ken.
Hi, Bob. Hi, Kitty.
How you doing?
Fine.
All right.
I agree
go.
With everything you said, Bob.
Okay.
I love that episode, The Girl from Little Egypt, because
oh, yeah.
we really get to see Helen. And did you notice that when they were in the hospital, Kimball said something very significant, which really touched me, because I just watched the episode again about a week ago, just to refresh myself. Kimball told Helen right there, he said the words, "I love you."
Yeah.
And that really touched me, that scene. And then Helen is crying a little bit, and then she finds out the bad news.
Right.
But did you notice that Kimball never said to any other woman for the rest of the series, he had many, many romances, but he never said, "I love you," to anybody else throughout the whole series. So I believe,
I agree.
Their marriage was good. I don't understand why Kimball, when he was in the living room and then they're arguing, why he just stormed out of the house. Can you answer that question for me, either you or Kitty?
Go ahead, Kitty.
Why did he storm out?
Yes, why did Kimball get so upset with Helen and just storm out of the house and take off?
Well, I think the implication was that here it was, he'd been trying to get them to adopt a baby, and actually it wasn't someone from Planned Parenthood that they were going to go meet. It was just an attorney who dealt with adoptions, and she was just so against the idea she wouldn't even discuss it. I mean, in fact, her attitude about the whole thing was that it wasn't real. He said other people have adopted children, and she said, "Well, if they want to live a lie, that's okay with me, but I won't live one." And to me, she comes across as very selfish in that episode, because she's basically saying that unless she gives birth to a child, then she is incapable of loving it. And that's a pretty lousy way to paint a character. I mean, you have no sympathy for this woman when she gets it.
Uh-huh.
And it's very interesting, because before we came on the air, I was looking at the Fugitive Recaptured, and
Kitty, I'm going to interrupt you, because we've got a real bad connection on your audio.
Yeah, I agree. I can hardly hear.
Yeah. What I want to do, Bob, you and Ken kind of talk. Kitty, would you hang up and call the station back on the same number, please? And we'll see if we get a better line.
Okay.
Oh, all right.
Is this better?
Go ahead.
Is this better now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I just made a slight adjustment there. Sorry.
All right, the engineer up at that studio fixed it. Or at least sounds better to me. So go ahead.
Okay. Anyway, so what I was saying was that in The Fugitive Recaptured, it's stated in there that Diane Brewster had actually wanted to come back to the show, and mm-hmm. I know Bobby has mentioned before that she wanted to come back as another character, but it says in there also that she also had expressed interest in coming back to do other flashbacks. And, you know, and yet nobody was interested in having her come back. The only thing that she ever came back for was the end of the series in The Judgment. And then it was actually Diane Brewster's voice that we heard in the episode The Survivors,
mm-hmm.
where her mother is listening to the record that Helen made for her as a happy birthday greeting. And I just think I think to a certain degree it's laziness on the part of the writers. Helen Kimball was reduced to just simply being a prop as a means to an end for the story. But I think it's very sad because Kimball rarely talks about his wife. I mean, I've watched 60 episodes so far, and I've only seen one where Kimball even shows any real remorse that she's dead.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask Ken a question. Ken, since you bring up the fact that he said, "I love you," did you also notice, because I just watched the episode yesterday, along with several others, which deal with her, when he tells her that the baby's dead, she starts saying, "Dead, dead, dead." She goes, "My baby dead." Well, don't you think it's his baby, too? Because
yes.
It seems to me that there's a lot of support from him to her, but not a lot of support from her to him.
Yes, I agree.
She
was very distressed there in the hospital bed. I get the feeling, though, that Kimball loved her, and he really cared about her. Didn't you get that feeling?
Well, I've received several emails the past couple of weeks, and everybody who has written to me has pointed to episodes down the line in which he talks about her, and we'll get to that on the next show and the other shows because it's going to take more than one show to do all this. But the thing about it is that I've never doubted that he loved her. That's not the issue with me. I think people often misunderstand me. My point is, I'm not trying to find out whether he loved her or not. I assume that when every couple gets married, that they love each other at the beginning, whether it lasts for 10 minutes or 25 years. I don't question that. What I question is, why don't the writers let us see it? That's the whole issue with me. I'm
Kitty's
sure that
right.
he did. I'm sure she loved him, but can I see some of that?
Yes, precisely.
Right. They were lazy.
I mean, we don't ever get to see them as a happy couple. And consequently, it's very difficult to have sympathy for this woman, particularly when Kimball never really shows that much remorse that she's dead. I mean, like I said, I've seen 60 episodes so far, and I've only seen one where he really shows any remorse and feels any kind of guilt that he wasn't there to save her.
Mm-hmm. Well, Kitty, remember that the scene that we see so much starting in season two and the little promo at the beginning, where he walks in the door and sees her dead on the floor. He simply stands there, and he makes a face that he sees her on the floor. I watched that yesterday, and I counted. It's 7 seconds that he stands at the door staring at his dead wife on the floor. He's a doctor, and what I've always heard is that when somebody's injured, every single second counts. He lets 7 of them go by.
Yeah, I mean,
never
that's the other
thing.
Never does
even go over to her.
That's the other thing, too. You would think Richard, as a doctor, when he goes in, when he goes into the house, I find myself wondering, why is he so convinced when he walks into the house that she's dead? Maybe she's just seriously injured. And you don't even see him walking up to her to take her pulse to confirm that she's actually dead.
Right.
And if there is no pulse, how come he's not trying to do something to revive her?
Yeah. And that comes back to me, because when I see him do that, I hate to admit this, but the first thing I'm thinking to myself is, well, you know what? Your wife is dead on the floor, but based on what I've seen so far, maybe it's not such a bad thing. Because you really want to live the rest of your life with this woman. She's completely unreasonable. She won't discuss anything with you, you know. And I think that really hurts it, because I don't have any background to go on. It would be a poignant story if I could look back and say, boy,
yeah.
You know, they were really crazy about each other. What a terrible tragedy that this happened in the middle of nowhere. So that's the problem I have with that. But, you know, I'm glad Ked mentioned that, because I've kind of overlooked that in the past. That he does say, I love you, right when they're in the hospital together. But Ken, she doesn't say that back to him, does she?
Yes. You know, the girl from Little Egypt was a perfect episode to show the flashback scenes of when Helen and Kimball met.
Yeah.
They could have showed that. You know, why did they have to give us a story with the stewardess and the cheating husband? I mean, that was pointless. It really was.
It was. It just took up time.
Away
they should have devoted the whole episode to that.
Well, look at Kimball gets run over by the car. He's in the hospital. Why not show us a little bit of Helen and Kimball together, maybe the proposal, then show us maybe a little bit inside the house, they argue, and then show us what Kimball does after he gets home and finds her on the floor. Maybe he did wait, but then maybe he went over, called police, and then let's see his reaction. Let's just see a little bit more.
Well, I think Kitty makes a good point when she says it's laziness for part of the writers. Remember, according to the book, you know, they were never going to do this episode. This was not even considered until they ran the series in front of test audiences before it ever hit TV. And people said, well, wait a minute. Can we see what happened before, how it got to be this way? Which is remarkable to me, because I would ask that immediately. I would say, the series already starts in the middle. Can you show me some flashbacks so I can get involved in it?
Right.
They don't do it.
All right, listen, we're going to take a quick break here and collect our thoughts. Ken, thanks a lot for calling. As much as you know about the show, maybe you'll be, you know, we'll have to put you on.
Anytime, Dave.
Oh, anytime. All right, I'll have volunteers. They must think you get paid for it.
Okay.
Ken, thanks a lot for the call. Let's take a quick time out. We'll be right back and talk more Fugitive on Sharevision Radio.
This Christmas, give the gift that lasts all year. Tell your friends and family about KSAV and how to find us. Besides in-depth discussions of The Fugitive, KSAV offers great programming 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The retro radio format plays the music of the 40s, 50s, and 60s, interspersed with old-time radio programs, retro commercials, and the memories of radio stations of the past. The fun and laughter of sidewalks of San Francisco, the nostalgia of Perfectly Frank, the guests and audience interaction of talk and television with Dave White means there is definitely something for everyone. Giving the gift of KSAV means no hassles with parking, returns, or exchanges. One size fits all, and the best part of it is, it's free. KSAV, the enjoyment of Christmas Day every day of the year.
This is pretty good being the Harry Von Zell of the thing. You sit back, you talk for about a minute, and then somebody else does all the work.
Say,
coming up tonight, folks, if you're on, I hope you'll stick around because we've got an evening of good programming. Right after Talking Fugitive, it's Perfectly Frank. That's proven to be a very popular show. And at 7:30, Talking Television with Dave White. I don't know if you've ever heard of that guy. Is good, baby. That's one of the top talents. And at 9 o'clock, a brand new Sidewalks of San Francisco. And that's a little fun program as well. So I hope you'll stick around for the whole evening. And now let's go back to Kitty and Bobby.
Okay, we got 4 emails in advance of the show. And I just want to tell the people who sent them in that we're probably only going to get to 1 tonight. But don't be worried about that because we'll come back on the 20th and we will pick up where we left off. And if it goes beyond that, eventually everybody's email will come on. People made some great comments and they have some great questions. The first one that we received was from Phil. Phil is a longtime member of our group and a regular poster on our message board. And he sent this to me, I think, a couple of weeks ago. And this is what he has to say. Why is Helen Kimball so important to this story? I think that for this show to work, we had a hero who was falsely accused and convicted of the most despicable of crimes, even in today's society, of murdering his spouse. The woman he married and promised to love, honor, and cherish for as long as they both should live. I think if it had been any other type of murder, the show would not have been successful. The type of crime repulsed people then, for example, Wilma Springer recoiling in horror when she learned that Kimball had allegedly murdered his wife. Now, Wilma Springer was the sheriff's wife in the classic episode Nightmare at North Oak, and she eventually helps Kimball escape, but when she first finds out that he's a killer, she is absolutely horrified. Phil is quite correct. To go on with his email, why is Helen Kimball portrayed so unfavorably? I think it was to ensure that Richard Kimball would receive a sympathetic reaction. Here was a man trapped in a marriage with a harridan of a woman, but he still tried to make it work and loved her enough that he stayed with the marriage. I am sure that Helen did most of the screaming and yelling during their quarrels, as evidenced by the female neighbor that heard them. If Helen had been portrayed as all sweetness and purity, we would have been convinced that Kimball was a scoundrel and deserved what he got. Richard and Helen's relationship, we hear only snippets for the first couple of seasons, and we only hear Richard's side, that he loved her, except for her inability to bear children. Their relationship was never really mentioned in Home is the Hunted or The Survivors. Now, I have a couple of problems here with what Phil has to say.
Oh, so do I.
Yeah. And go ahead. You say it first. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I don't think you needed to portray Helen Kimball in a negative light to have Richard come off as a sympathetic person. I mean, we had the Fugitive movie with Harrison Ford where Celia Ward portrayed his wife, and they were both a very happily married, lovey-dovey couple all the way. And in fact, we learned more about Helen Kimball in that two-hour movie than we ever did in 120 episodes in the original series. And I don't think anybody in the movie theater thought Harrison Ford's Richard Kimball was some kind of scoundrel. And the same thing in the Fugitive 2000 series with Tim Daly, where Kelly Rutherford played his wife. She was just a very sweet person, and it was obvious they had a happy marriage. And it was certainly, I can't imagine anybody who watched that show who thought Tim Daly's Richard Kimball was some kind of a scoundrel.
Now, you know, in his middle paragraph here, he talks about how he tried to make the marriage work and loved her enough to stay with the marriage. And then Phil says, I am sure that Helen did most of the screaming and yelling during their quarrels, as evidenced by the female neighbor that heard them. Now, that's the woman who gets on the witness stand at the few minutes that we get of the trial and the girl from Little Egypt.
Right.
And she talks about how she heard a lot of screaming and hollering. But I don't remember, I just went back and looked at that yesterday, and I don't remember her saying that it was only Helen who was screaming. She just said she hears a lot of screaming and yelling. So this kind of is an assumption here that she was the one doing all the screaming. Well, knowing what we know about Richard Kimball, that's probably true. He's not the type to get violent like that. And, of course, there's an alcohol issue in here, too. And then when he says, if Helen had been portrayed as all sweetness and purity, we would have been convinced that Kimball was a scoundrel and deserved a gun. I can't even understand that. I mean, I agree with you. Why do we have to show Helen in a negative light? I mean, to say that we would have been convinced that Kimball was a scoundrel is to suggest that he did something wrong. He didn't do anything wrong. He wasn't having an affair with another woman. There's no real reason for the crime. They don't need money. It's not about an insurance policy. There's really nothing here. So I don't think he can come off as a scoundrel at all, except that his wife got murdered, and he got caught in the middle of it. And I just don't see it that way. And, you know, Kitty, you mentioned this business about my train of thought on that one. At any rate, I don't think that we can automatically assume that you had mentioned to me in the past, we talked about this privately, you have a problem, do you not, with the neighbor hearing all of this from next door?
Well, yeah, because on the night in which Helen is murdered, from what we've seen of the girl in Little Egypt, it's not like it's a knockdown, drag-out screaming match. I mean, it doesn't seem to me like she raises her voice that much. I mean, not loud enough for a neighbor to hear. I mean, in fact, how many people really do hear their neighbors screaming at each other unless they're actually outside in the yard?
Maybe in an apartment, but certainly not. And these are separated houses.
Exactly.
And so I don't think she could hear all of that. And besides, this automatic assumption that this leads to murder is ridiculous. Lots of couples argue all the time, and they certainly don't kill each other. And people are telling me that they really loved each other, and they had this great relationship, at least early in their marriage. How come the neighbor never saw any of that? She never saw them outside. She never saw them holding hands, walking to the car, coming home. She never had occasion to talk to anybody. It's all just, you know, for a woman who appears to be paying a lot of attention to what's going on next door, it's odd how she only sees it that way.
Well, she might have seen the other stuff if Kimball hadn't had a deaf mute for an attorney.
Yes,
to cross-examine her. I mean, if you'll notice in that episode, Girl from Little Egypt, I don't think we ever saw the defense doing any cross-examinations.
No, I think that guy represented me in a divorce once.
Oh, really? Was that bad, huh? Okay. Well, we're going to have to deal in the future show with the entire flashback of the trial and all, because that was really pretty bizarre. So, you know, my whole feeling about this is just that they really never wanted to do this, because I get the feeling that the producers are saying, look, this is a story about this man and what happened to him after he found his wife murdered. Don't ask us about Helen Kimball. Don't ask us about this. Don't ask us about that, because that gets off the track. We really don't want to go there. And I think that's very unfortunate. I just think they made a bad decision about the screaming.
Well, I agree as well, because without developing Helen Kimball more, and the fact that you don't see any kind of flashbacks, I mean, Kimball rarely has talked about his wife.
Oh, yeah.
You really do, to me, you get the impression that he's simply just mad that he got blamed for it.
Yeah.
You know, you really don't see that he's grieving for his wife.
Yeah. There are a couple of episodes that we'll get to later about in which he starts to discuss, especially, as somebody pointed out to me in one of their emails today, Landscape with Running Figures, that's coming up in Season 3, in which he talks to Gerard's wife, and he talks about how, you know, things were pretty good in the early days. But even there, I'm not all that convinced. But like I said when we started this tonight, I don't really have a problem. I'm willing to assume that they were happy at one time. This is not what this is all about. I assume that they were happy because I know Richard Kimball, and he seems like a very wonderful man. I can't imagine he would ever be a bad husband. It doesn't seem possible. And so I'm sure they had really, really good days. The issue is not, were they happy? Because either way, if they were or they weren't, it's irrelevant. I mean, you know, we can't do anything about that. I just wish they had shown that they had a lot of opportunities. Ken made a really good point when he said they had a lot of time in The Girl from Little Egypt to be able to develop this story, get rid of the stewardess and the business about the boyfriend and all of this jazz, because it's superfluous and it takes up massive amounts of time when they could have simply said, you know, here's flashbacks. You want to know the story? Here's the story. And you're right. That is just lazy writing, and it's just a, kind of a lazy attitude that goes on throughout this series. When you get to certain points and you feel that you haven't seen everything you should see, I think you can trace it back to that kind of attitude that says, we're not going to go there because, well, you know what? We really don't want to. This is our story. This is how we're going to do it. And don't ask us all these questions about it. But poor Helen Kimball, I mean, from the very beginning, she doesn't look very good. And when we come back and talk about this on the 20th of December, I want to get into the fact that all the way when you get to the very end of the judgment, which is 4 years later, imagine, this is episode 14, and that's episode 120, she's still being treated badly. We get a flashback scene there in which she's even more out of control. She's even more hysterical. I mean, you mean to tell me in 4 years we couldn't find something good to say about this woman? I feel really sorry for her. Not only does she get murdered, but, you know, she needs an agent. She needs a publicity agent to look better than she does. And I don't think it wrecks the series, but it does take from it, because when I see Kimball walk in that door, I should be really choked up to see his wife laying there, and I'm not. And the reason is that first impression, that first lousy impression in which she's acting the way she is. So I think that, for me at least, that's the whole issue.
Me too.
Yeah. So I mean, give me some of the... You know, we just reviewed an episode a couple of months ago in season two. That was the story. Remember the one that was all done in flashbacks? The whole story was all flashbacks about...
Oh, yes, about how Kimball was allegedly murdered.
Right.
And somebody else was blamed for
right,
it, even
right.
though Kimball was very much alive. Yeah, you know, if they could do a show like that, you would think that they could have done something similar with the character of Helen. You know, particularly they had ample opportunity in that episode of called The Survivors, where
yeah.
he went and saw Helen's family, and yet all we get is Diane Brewster's voice on that record wishing her mother a happy birthday.
Right, he stands outside the door listening, and he looks sad, and you know, it's the first time he's heard her voice since she died. And here, the first time I saw him, I'm waiting, and I'm thinking to myself, here it comes. Here comes the big flashback we've been waiting for. We're going to see early days. And we simply don't see it all.
And we also had another ample opportunity for a flashback in that episode, Ballad for a Ghost, where supposedly Janice Cage reminded him of his wife.
All right, listen, that's as far as we can go here because the time has run out.
All right, we'll check it on the 20th.
Excellent. We'll all be back. I'll be here on the 20th. Bobby and Kitty, a good job. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks to the people that listen. And keep listening. Perfectly Frank coming up next. And in an hour, talking television with Dave White, my favorite. See you then, folks. This is Sharavision Radio.